Thank you very much. Good afternoon. My name is Zoltán Kálmán. I'm the Hungarian permanent representative to the Rome-based UN agencies. First of all, I congratulate the joint event and the preparation of this joint report. This is the fruit of the partnership between FAO and IFPRI, and I wish well for this collaboration between the two organizations. This report seems to me a very good paper for also providing inputs for the CFS negotiations, both in the plenary and also in the various working groups. I would also appreciate continuous inputs from the IFPRI people, IFPRI colleagues, to the CFS discussions. That would be very much appreciated. My question relates the food prices. A couple of years ago, I had the pleasure to read an IFPRI study, which had the title something similar that low food prices continue to worsen the situation, or higher food prices could be beneficial for the smallholders on the long run. And in this respect, I'm asking if the mistaken, artificially low food price policy is addressed in this report or not, because I have not had the possibility to read it. And in this respect, I also wanted to mention the fact that the so-called externalities, the costs of the impacts of environmental damage or impacts of and costs on public health of the unhealthy, of the junk food, of the so-called low-quality industrialized food, which causes partly also the so-called hidden hunger. If these impacts and externalities are addressed in this report in one way or other, and also to see if the solution in this regard is provided. Because we speak always about the broken food system, but we do not specify what do we mean about that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's take another couple of questions, and then we can give our speakers the floor to who would like to say something or ask another question. Do I see anything? People are timid all of a sudden. Ah, yes, please, Ambassador. Us. We have a representative of... let me give it to the Ambassador and then to the representative of IFAD here. Please, have the floor. don't. We all get the chance. Please, Ambassador, you have the floor.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you again, Mr. Fan and Mr. Ambassador of the Netherlands. Your report is so informative and very comprehensive. Today I received a lot of very important information. Okay, thank you very much. My question is, at present, when we formulate food policy or agriculture policies, normal situation, we are focused on the government policy, the management policy, even the agriculture financial system policies to enhance, to promote development of agricultural production. But my question is, could we focus on farmers? How can we formulate some policies, the food policies or agriculture policies, to mobilize enthusiasm of farmers? I think that is very important. Otherwise, when we have very good policy from government, but the farmers, they haven't new ideas or enthusiasm, maybe that can't promote development of agriculture. The second question is also the same with the hunger representative, the food price. The food price at present is lower. How do you think, Mr. Fan? To my knowledge, I think that is a bad situation. Because to my working experience, the food price is most important issue to increase the income of farmers. But at present, why the food price is always lower? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let me pass the floor to, yes, to IFAD. Please identify yourself.
Paul Winters from IFAD. My question is similar to the Chinese ambassador's question, the first question he asked. You talk about linking farmers to urbanized markets, and a lot of what you're talking about is sounds rather complicated, right? You have quality standards that need to be met, timing needs to be met to be able to link those markets. And so I'm curious about what the report says about ensuring inclusiveness and what kind of investments might allow the benefits of these linkages to be expanded to smallholders, to poorer households.
Good. Let me take one more from Switzerland.
Thank you very much, François Pitou. I'm the permanent representative of Switzerland. Thank you for the presentation. I just want to go to one of the issues which is raised in the report, which is the importance of informal food markets for ensuring food access to food, mainly in cities of developing country. And I think that's quite important because if we talk another issue, which is also very important for sustainable agriculture, is the access of farmers to seed sector. And here also we know that the informal sector is key in making, in providing the seeds for the farmer in developing country. And often in our discussion, we are not really addressing too much this issue of how to use or how to build a food system or food value chain on the informal market. So I will be very interesting, Mr. Fan, to have your views on how to better incorporate this issue into our discussion.
Very good. Let's go back to our speakers now. Schengen, I think you had several questions
on prices. Sure, I can start. Hans can help. If I cannot answer some of the questions, Hans can always help. Okay, thank you. I think the representative from Hungary and also the Minister New raised a question about the impact on, or the lower food prices and the impact on farmers. I think from IPRI's point of view, the lower food prices obviously helps the people who buy food, that's urban consumers, and also not food buyers, even in rural areas. There are still probably half of the farmers who buy foods in Africa, in South Asia. But I don't think the fundamental solution to help farmers is to artificially raise prices. I think we needed to set the prices properly. That can really truly reflect not only demand supply, but also so-called externalities on the environment, on our health. So the prices should truly reflect. I think if the prices of food can also reflect the impact on the environment, climate change, on health, I think you will see some of the food prices will go up. So smallholders will be able to benefit from higher prices. Now the question is, what do we do with the poor people who will not be able to afford more healthy, more nutritious food? I think social protection can help. Now, in the long run, I think the smallholders either have to move out or move up. They're moving up, moving out. So if there are opportunities in urban centers, actually, like FAODG said, where the smallholders will be able to move to cities, to non-farm employment, even in rural area, that will help to increase farmers' income, maybe also bring them out of the agriculture sector. And, okay, obviously now the agriculture sector has been transformed very rapidly, even in China. E-commerce, internet, now, and lots of progressive farmers, particularly young farmers, have benefited from that. What happens to those who are not necessarily well-educated, who cannot access to modern technology like internet? There, how can we really help them to organize? I mean, some of the countries a very interesting initiative to organize the farmers either based on vertical link, vertical co-ops or horizontal co-ops, territorial co-ops based on village. So the whole village can set up, let's say, some sort of internet platform to sell their products to urban consumers and also build a brand, one village. All the farmers will be able to join that brand. So that's some of the initiatives that certain countries used. Now, the informal sector, informal market, absolutely, it's very critical. The market developments go through several stages, right? From, it's a very primitive one-to-one sales to one-to-wholesale markets, high-value chains and so on. So in Africa, South Asia, this sort of informal markets are so important for smallholders. Smallholders, they will be able to sell their products to these wet markets, and then the urban consumers will be able to go to the wet markets to buy this food. So some of the informal markets are actually quite efficient, are quite effective. Now the question is, how can you properly regulate them? Because food safety issues, right? Food safety is a big issue. Street food is another big problem. So proper regulation to ensure that the wet market, informal market, can benefit both smallholders and urban consumers is a big question to be answered. Ambassador Hans, you wanted to add something?
Thank you very much, Van. I think it was very interesting, the issue of food prices. I think both when you look to developing countries and developed countries, I know that within the European Union, a study is being done now to look to the margins in the value chain. And what you until now see is we ask farmers to be more climate smart. We ask them to be more sustainable, more looking to the environment and biodiversity. And of course, they are doing it, but it will cost something. And when you look to the whole value chain, the study is showing that not the retail sector or the consumers are paying the price for these increased investments, but the farmers nowadays are getting the lowest margins of their production. I think that is one thing we have to change. I think there, and especially when you speak about the policies, and I agree with the distinguished ambassador of China, is that we have to start with the farmers. And we have to, even if you speak at a global level, we have to see how we can change our way of dealing, even within the FAO, about our global policies and about inclusiveness of the private sector, farmers' organizations, and NGOs. And of course, it's easier said than done, but we have seen, it's not without reason that I mentioned the Alliance of Agra. It's an alliance where governments, African governments, private sector, as well as NGOs, are working together to establish a system and policies which include also changing the policies of some of the major companies. And I think that's what we have to focus on as well. When we look to the young farmers, I think it's crucial. We can only interest them again in agriculture if it becomes sexy, and we give them access to some of the financial resources. They cannot go to a bank at this moment and ask for a loan to start a company or to start a farm. But we do it, for example, in Europe, but also in South Africa, when they want to start up an IT company, because then they go to a bank and there's a facility that they can get a startup premium. We have to establish that as well for the young entrepreneurs in farming. I think there we have some examples, and we should, I think, scale them up. Then the last remark about access to seed. We have the gene banks. We have the International Treaty on Plant Genetic Resources. We speak about benefit sharing. But at the same time, what you see in practice is that more and more companies are patenting their seeds. And whereas then the access of the smallholder farmers, and I think it's better to speak about smallholder entrepreneurs than smallholder farmers, because they are entrepreneurs. They don't only want to feed their family. They want to do a business. They want to grow their business. They need to have access to seed. I think what we have to do is to sit together with the gene banks, some of the governments in the private sector, to see how they can access what's available in the gene banks and not with the high prices we have now. And I think when we look also to the private sector, even, I won't mention specific companies, they are willing also for their market value to see how they can green their policy to the consumers. And they want to invest now in, I think, greening of their company policies, social responsible business. And we have to grab that opportunity. And we have to grab those companies. And we shouldn't wait till we have 2,000 of those companies. Let's start with 10 or 20. The rest will follow. It's a chance we have now. And I think within Rome, within the report of IFRI, it gives a strong basis to grab those companies. It gives an opportunity to let them invest in some of the projects and programs we are setting up together with FEO, together with IFAD or WFP, and together with IFRI.
Thank you very much, Ambassador. I will take another couple of questions before we close this. Are there any? Yes, please.
Thank you very much. I'm Marieta from Slovakia. I love the expression the Dutch ambassador is using about sexy agriculture. It's very charming. So I think, yes, the report is excellent in terms of providing lots of data that is needed for us to better understand this nexus, but also some more insight is needed on how to make the rural areas more attractive for people to stay there, especially for young people, to make it attractive to work and to stay and live. It's a way of life, yes, that you decide for this option, not to move to the cities, because you need to have an opportunities in the rural areas. And I think it was Director General who touched slightly about the role of the cities. I think cities also can have a role in terms of urban agriculture, in terms of community gardens that could be that could contribute. And that always reminds me of my grandmother who always told me that the best for your nutrition is the food that grows around you. Yes, but when you live in a big city, it's difficult to grow your own food. But she lived more than 90 years in a great physical and mental health, so her approach was good to be followed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Is there any other question or remark? Yes, please, Mr. Halab. Thank you. We'll close with this one.
Okay, thank you very much. It's Mr. Kostas Stamoulis for giving me this chance. And I would like also to appreciate Jose Graziani, Schengen Fan, and His Excellency Ambassador Ugven. Well, I forget to introduce myself. Sorry for that. I'm an alternate permanent representative of Eritrea for IFAD, WFO, and FAO. Well, I'm really inspired by the way His Excellency Ambassador mentioned certain words like less to move from theory to concrete, and we have also to learn from failures very well. Well, when I hear it, when he mentioned the martial law, I was very impressed, because martial plan is not an easy issue. I remember it has done a lot after the Second World War with concrete issues. But this time, how can he make this one very practical? Is such kind of plan is going to be guided and maneuvered only by the, say, international organizations or by the funding agents? But particularly, what is going to be the practical role of the governments who are under malnutrition and impoverished? So I would like to hear from you about this issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I will give the floor to the podium. before we close this meeting. So Schengen and then the ambassador. Okay.
Yeah, I think that I very much agree. How can we really also make sure the rural area is very attractive so the young people will stay? Why the young people move to cities? Because they wanted to enjoy the city life, movie theater, clubs, education, entertainment. So if we can help the rural towns to improve all the access to entertainment, to a good living, I don't need to go to the cities. So I can enjoy everything that city has. I don't need to go to the cities. The clean air, you know, good food, good environment. So I think we must invest more just to improve living standard of the rural areas. So under G20's initiative, the German government this year is very much focused on rural areas. So not just agriculture. So agriculture, rural areas are very different, but there are something overlapping. So I just wanted to emphasize that. That's so important. Now, urban agriculture, I'm not against urban agriculture. Urban agriculture does have certain potential to do more. But to make sure that the urban agriculture considers the environmental negative impact on the environment, the certain diseases, certain food safety issues, and also the impact on climate change. Because not so urban, highly mechanized, automated urban agriculture use a lot of energy. So that all these things have to be taken into consideration. Now, the martial art, I think I very much agree we need a martial art. But we needed to look at different sources of funding. The funding, traditional funding, let's say from U.S. to Europe, right, that was a martial art. Maybe now from Europe to other places. I think it's still very important. But more importantly, probably the investment from emerging economies. China is investing heavily in Africa. India is going there too. The private sector, multinational companies. Now, what is the role of the government? I think government should really set up sort of enabling environment by investing in infrastructure, coherent policy, and to be a judge to make sure that everybody has a fair share, a fair play in that game. Hans, maybe you could address a second question too. You mentioned about a martial plan.
Thank you very much. Just also to add, Schengen, what you said about the young farms, the young people in rural areas. I think it's also, and what said by the ambassador of Slovakia, it's also an issue of image. And I use perhaps a strange example in the Netherlands. 2 years ago, a TV program was started, Farmer Seeking a Wife. And everyone said, what is this for program? What an odd program. It was on a Sunday evening, an evening where not a lot of people in the Netherlands are watching TV, only soccer. It was in the early evening. But it became the best watched program nowadays on a Sunday evening in the Netherlands. And why? Not only about romantics. It also because it shows the way of living of a farmer. How he's taking care of his animals about food production. And it's more than only food production or earning a living. It shows also now, I think, to the Dutch public, and it's not only now in the Netherlands, because it is sold, you know the Dutch, it's sold to other countries as well and shown there on the Dutch on their TVs. It shows a way of living, an interest in farming, an interest in where our food is coming from, also to young children. My son was looking to it. He didn't know at a certain moment where the milk is coming from. He said, yeah, it's coming from a factory, not from a cow. He watched at a certain moment that program. He said, now I know and understand much better the farming. And it changed the image of farmers in the Netherlands. And it changed also, I think, people now wanting or willing to study perhaps not agriculture, but food production. And Wageningen University is now the best university in the Netherlands with the most students, because they want to do something in the food production, in the food chain. And then to the, I think, to the Marshall Plan, of course, I'm not advocating exactly the same. But it is an example And why did I mention it? It was an example after the Second World War in Europe, because the magnitude of the problem is the same as when it was then. And we had to do more than only investing and finding funding from, especially, I think, the United States then and some other governments. It's about the magnitude of the problem and how to solve it. None of the current governments can do it alone. None of the companies or the multinationals can do it alone. We have to find a way forward, and there I think the idea becomes interesting. And there was also the idea why Kofi Annan started ECWA. He spoke about a revolution, and he spoke about means of implementation which are much broader than only seeking funding from governments or trying to get more investments of the private sector. It's a combined effort in a certain programmatic plan, and certainly not, that was not my idea, certainly not originated from developed countries. Therefore, I mentioned the Rome-based agencies. But somebody, because of the magnitude of the problem, has to bring some of the elements which are there, have to bring them together to see how we can do more than only one on one is two. And I think the time is there now. The willingness, not only of governments, but also the willingness of the private sector and some of the NGOs is there to make a huge effort forward. And for example, for the Netherlands, the cooperative way of farming was the solution, together with investing innovation and research and education. That became, I think, the three pillars of the success of the Dutch agriculture. And we can learn from that. We made many, many failures. We can learn from that as well. But I think that's a way forward. But we have to think a little bit bigger than we are thinking now.
Thank you very much. I think, first of all, on behalf of all of you, I would like to thank all our speakers today and also thank all those that contributed to this report, which is extremely interesting. I see the discussion here. And we all realize that addressing the needs of growing numbers of urban dwellers while at the same point improving the livelihoods of those in rural areas, including, of course, small farmers, is a huge challenge. I think, if anything, the price discussion here, which how do you get better margins for the farmers without creating a world price jungle where everybody competes one or the other direction and increases vulnerability, is one, it gave us a flavor that the trade-offs that governments are facing, they have to face in addressing these challenges. And that's, I think, the essence of a good policy. Try to address these trade-offs in the most efficient way, in the most inclusive way. It is not just governments. I think we heard it, that at the end of the day, the final outcome is the policy and the response by the private sector, by the farmers, by the urban dwellers. So for us, that as we prepare the State of Food and Agriculture 2017, I think the report itself, but also a discussion and the signals and the messages that we get from this, I think they will be very useful in moving us forward. Thank you very much, all of you, for your interest and participation in this event of launching. Thank you so much.